Our scripture text today is in 2 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 10. A sermon titled, God's Perspective for Negative Attitudes. A sermon that also focuses on a theme that the grace and the power of God shall never fail. With that we say amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, begin reading in verse 1 through 10. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. This incredible declaration by the Apostle Paul, his last words in the last three verses, is making reference to how the world may try to label him in the ministry. What the world maybe thinks of what he's doing, that somehow that he's a deceiver, or that he's dying, or that he's sorrowful, or that he is full of dishonor. And yet, in all those things he is saying, yet we were doing the right thing in honor. We were doing the good report. We were doing what was well known. And yet they saw us as sorrowful, and yet we determined that we would always be rejoicing. It was a reflection of what not only was in the heart and spirit, but the mindset of this great man of God, of Paul. It's a reflection of what was in the thinking process, of what he was taking into his mind, just as you and I do, by the way. What we take into our minds and what we think about ultimately begins to affect how we feel. And ultimately, how we feel can lead to feeling victorious in Christ or feeling dismayed or discouraged. But the gate through which it all comes through is through the mind. Just as when we came to know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, it was a work of the Spirit, but first we had to hear the good news. We had to hear the power of the gospel, that Jesus died for us, that He rose again, that He loves us, that He wants to forgive us of our sins. We heard that in through our ears and through our mind, and it touched our heart. And as the Holy Spirit worked upon us, we surrendered. We said, yes, I need the Savior. But it all begins through this gate that we call our mind, what we listen to, what we think about, and what comes in. And so today, this ideal of God's perspective for negative attitudes. The reality is that we as believers have those moments and those little snippets of time, if you would, in which, if we're not careful, we'll fall into the thinking pattern of being down or discouraged and thinking in a negative way, not a faithful way. Sometimes it's easy to look back on our past. You ever do this? Look back on our past, look back in things in our background that we wish that had been different. that we wish we might have done differently, or things that we think maybe we would have said differently or decided differently. Don't we all have those in our past? Do we have those things? Oh, if I could have a redo, a chance to have and do that again, I would have done that differently. Well, the reality, though, is that God wants us to learn from the past in a positive way, not in a way that's negative or overbearing, but to learn from the past. And by learning from the past, by the work of the Spirit and the Word of God, it helps neutralize the potential for negatives and negative thinking in our daily living. And you got to understand that there are tendencies in all of us. You've been around folks that seem to have the tendency to always think the worst thing. You've known folks like that. They've had the tendency, no matter what happens, they're going to tell you what's wrong right then at that moment, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And on the other hand, you've been around folks that have the tendency that no matter what's going on, they have a positive, praising, upbeat spirit. That tendency that is, yes, they're going through battles and issues and problems and struggles, and yet the tendency that's there is, but praise God, I know my Redeemer and my Father is with me and He's going to see me through this. And they're constantly looking at it from a more positive perspective. You think about us today as believers, that as we go through the new year, we've talked about folks want to make change. Well, I'm going to make a change this year. It's the new year, new resolutions, and I'm going to have that diet, work out, do this and do that, all those wonderful things that folks tend to focus on at the beginning of the year. But in order to change our lives in the area of what we think about and spiritually, we must change the program of what we're putting into our minds and what we're thinking about. Because our lives are greatly influenced by the attitudes and by the principles of what we believe. What do you believe? Is that the overpowering source of what you think about? There are certain principles that God gives us that should be the principles that not only we live by, but are central to what we think about. For example, the principle of reciprocity, to reciprocate. And we look at the Word of God in Luke in the 6th chapter in verse 38. You know the Scripture well. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So there's this law of reciprocity, in which that which we give, we can expect to be given back to us. As you can't outgive God, amen? That the more we give to God, the more we give to Him, not just financially, yes, that's true, but our heart and our lives and who we are as men and women, as we give to the Lord, we can never outgive God. And the measure with which we give is the measure which God has given back to us. Or the law of perseverance in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. That Scripture, to me, among any Scripture, the Bible is an indication that we persevere. We keep asking and knocking and seeking. We push, pray until something happens. P-U-S-H. We just keep pushing. It's the law of perseverance, the law of unity in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 19 and 20. The Word says, "Assuredly I say to you that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." That law of unity is one of the principles of God as we look at perseverance and this law of being the reciprocal promises of God. All of those are the laws of God that should govern our perspective and how we think about what's going on around us. I love this next one, the law of miracles. Do y'all believe in miracles? Oh, I believe in miracles. And the law of miracles in the Gospel of John In the 14th chapter of John, verses 12 through 14, Jesus is speaking and Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Do we believe that? Do we believe it, that miracles still happen to men and women that call upon God in the name of Jesus in faith? I believe that. The law of miracles, or the law of dominion. Also in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you," I spoke to this subject Wednesday night, "and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We have the keys. Jesus has given us this dominion over this life through the blood of His Son Jesus. God has given us that. Amen. We have the keys to unlock the door for salvation. The keys to unlock the door for the miracles of God in healing. We have the keys to unlock the door for deliverance for those around us. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the law of dominion, of miracles, of unity, of perseverance, of reciprocity, all of those laws are ours, and those are laws that are laid out in the Word of God. And those principles should be the guiding principles of how we think about things in our life. So if we begin to change how we think, we've got to rely on what does God say. Amen? It begins with that. So this ideal of having an optimistic outlook, that optimism is anticipating the best possible outcome of every circumstance. That's optimism, isn't it? As opposed to the negativism. Negativism is anticipating the worst possible outcome for every circumstance. And there will always be those small people around us that will be so skilled in verbalizing their negative perspective about what we're trying to do, what we're praying for, what we're trusting God for, is never going to happen. Don't allow those folks to be the influencers in your life. Allow what God says in His laws to carry the influence of what you feel and think and believe about what's happening in your circumstances. To anticipate the best possible outcome in every circumstance is to believe that God is with me no matter what. That God is on my side. It changes our perspective and our thinking about things. And there's no room for that negative perspective when we're thinking that way. We've got to live not only to learn by the principles that God has given us that I've made reference to, but to live by encouragement. Going back to our scripture text in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 6 through 7. Paul, in his writing, says, "By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the Word of truth, by the power of God." Listen to what he's saying. I am living each day by these things. By kindness and the Holy Spirit and love and the truth and the power of God. That's how I'm going to live my life. Dependent upon those things. And we live by encouragement when we can remember to live, as I've already said earlier, by what God has said. Verse 16 of that same chapter, the Word says, "And God has said." I really like that because it's reminding us. "And God has said," and let me read the following, "I will dwell in them and walk among them and will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's what God is saying to you and to me today. He's saying, I'm dwelling with you right now by my Holy Spirit. I am walking with you every day. I am your God. It's a personal relationship and promise to you and to me. And you are my people. And they shall be my people, is what the word says. And so it's personally said, you're my child. You're my people. It's like when we talk about family, you know, and say, well, that's my family. God is saying, you're my family. You're mine. I'm walking with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm dwelling with you. I'm your God. That's what God has said, not what the enemy is trying to get us to believe about a particular situation or circumstance or event in our life. We also have to learn to live by the principle of contentment. Paul fully understood this over and over throughout the letters that he wrote to the various congregations that make up so much of the New Testament, that he learns to live, to be either abased or to be in a situation in which he abounds. He says in this chapter, in 2 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, in verse 10, he says, as sorrowful, in other words, no matter what the situation may be, he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. What is Paul saying? He said, you know, folks look at my life, and they say, well, I should be full of sorrow because of all the problems I've had and all that I'm going through. But he said, you know, I'm not. I'm always rejoicing in my Savior. Folks look at me, and they say, oh, he's so poor. He's so poor, he travels around, he doesn't have anything. He's always just depending on what offerings people give him as he's traveling, sharing the good news of Christ. And the poor guy has nothing. And yet Paul says, they look at me as poor. He says, but yet I am making many people rich. He says, I'm making folks rich in the knowledge of the hope of our Savior, Jesus Christ. How could I be poor if I am imparting the riches of Jesus to those around me? How could we be poor in that perspective? And yet, possessing all things, they said, well, and yet making many riches, having nothing. Going back saying, I have nothing. Yet, he says, possessing all things. Now that's perspective, isn't it? That's a man who says, I don't have anything. People think I ought to be sad. They don't think I have any riches or anything in my life. I have it all. I have possessed all things. I might add all things that really matter. Amen. All things that really count. That's the perspective that we're talking about today. That's the change in our thinking that is from the Word of God, that we learn to live by the principle of contentment. That is so contrary, by the way, to this culture. That is so far the opposite of what the culture, the Western culture particularly, and really the rest of the world is saying to us. Yet God is saying by His servant Paul and by the Word of God that no matter what my situation is, I am rich and I possess all things. And what a great example of perspective in thinking for you and for me. So in conclusion today, in conclusion that when we're at our weakest, the Bible speaks the strongest. When we're at the point of the greatest need, it's when the power of the Holy Spirit is there, because the grace and the power of God, no matter what the situation may be, it will not fail. It will not fail. We can count on it. He is faithful to us. In our own lives, our attitudes, our perspectives cannot be dependent upon the conditions surrounding us. Amen? Let me say that one more time. Our perspective and our attitudes cannot be dependent upon the conditions surrounding us. Conditions and situations will change. There'll always be something coming along in our life that is the opportunity to lose heart or to be dismayed or discouraged or not have the right attitude. But made by the grace of God and the faith in His promises and in His power, that we look positively through eyes of faith in every circumstance, in every situation, just as Paul did. We look at them as just temporary experiences preparing us for eternity with our Savior, Jesus Christ, no matter what. Isn't that a great perspective? Isn't that a great way to live our lives and to trust Him? And that we have the building blocks that God has given us to accomplish that. He's given us the building block of prayer. Because prayer fixes our gaze above all the frustrations and the negatives and the circumstances, and we can zero right in on the heart of God. He gives us the building blocks of a church, of people that come together, that encourage one another, that worship, that bring up and encourage the Word of God to be in our hearts and our lives. The Corinthian church, by the way, that Corinthian church that Paul is writing to, that we're reading this word from, was a church that had confused doctrine and they had carnal habits and they sinned and they excused it. They said, well, the more we sin, the more it proves the power of God's grace. And so let's just keep sinning. They were confused about the meaning of marriage. They were corrupting the spiritual gifts that God had given them. And they really didn't understand what it meant to be a Christian. And yet, the Word of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, corrected all of those ideas and helped them think correctly as Paul was teaching them. He gave them instructions on how to deal with those negatives and how to deal with having an optimistic view of ourselves that God has of you and me. We embrace that today, amen. We claim that in the name of Jesus. We stand in the power of the name of Jesus and His shed blood over our minds and our hearts and any effort by the enemy to bring us down, to bring dismay or discouragement or even depression, negative thinking. We say that does not come from our Heavenly Father, and we reject it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We embrace the promises of God. I conclude today a beautiful song that was written by Bill and Gloria Gaither.